Lord, we thank you for Sally and for the way in which she has spent many years faithfully serving you, seeking to know you better, seeking to share you with others. And we just thank you for that ministry that she has. And we pray that this morning we will be able to hear from her the truth that you have given to her. Amen.
Amen. Oh, it's on. Wow. Well, good morning, everyone. Yes, I'm Sally. It's good to be here. And I was invited to preach today as a part of the series on sharing one of our favourite stories of Jesus. And just as a side note, I haven't actually preached in this church for 13 years, and I haven't actually preached for about 10, because I've been doing other things in the area of ministry. But as I waited on God, what kept forming within me, and it was really good actually to have the inner preacher working again, you know, that's how the gift works within me, that, you know, the inner preacher, the Holy Spirit starts forming something. And I kept hearing what he formed within me was, what do you want me to do for you? Is that up there? Yeah. What do you want me to do for you? And of course, this is actually repeated in a number of stories in the gospel, which is really interesting. And the one that we're going to look at today is Mark chapter 10, 45 to 52. So if you could just bring that up for me. Very good. Yep, so. So, last week, Stephen had us in Jericho. Do you remember, with Zacchaeus and Jesus? This week, we're still in Jericho. Remember, it was that popular resort city that Herod the Great made rebuilt in the Judean desert. And there was a significant road linking Jericho to Jerusalem. And Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, but he stopped in Jericho. So, verse 46, then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. And he was sitting by the roadside begging. So in first century Jericho, beggars typically sat by the roadside, often somewhere near the city gates, and to intercept travellers and people as pilgrims as they were heading to and from Jerusalem. And it was a good location for beggars to receive from passers-by. And beggars were a common sight in most towns. And most occupations required some sort of physical labour. So if you were blind like Bartimaeus, you had to beg for a living. And in those days, most people wrongly thought that if you had a physical ailment or a disease, it was a sign that God was displeased with you. That people suffered from these things were unrepentant sinners being punished by God. But Jesus, remember, he corrected that wrong belief. Number of times throughout the Gospels, he corrected that. Blind Bartimaeus, he would have been ostracized because of the thinking of the day. He would have been looked down on, overlooked, cast aside. And after being treated like that for years, he probably felt a bit in the way of worthless, a bit downcast. And, you know, it'd be a good reason for him to be quiet on that roadside. And Bartimaeus also means, this Bar means son of, and Timaeus. But you know what Timaeus means, which is very interesting? It means honoured, esteemed, valued boy. And was that a contrast to his social outcast status? Until he encountered Jesus. And I can imagine Bartimaeus, he could hear something. He couldn't see, but he could hear something. Something was happening. Something was happening in the crowd. So he started asking questions. He wasn't afraid to ask the questions. What's happening? What's going on? And then in verse 47 we read, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And I love this about Bartimaeus. He was the one who was physically blind, yet he was the one who had the spiritual revelation and insight to know that Jesus was the son of David, which meant that he was the long-awaited Messiah. Wow, the blind beggar could see Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. While religious leaders of the day, who witnessed many miracles that Jesus had done, they totally denied. They were blind to Jesus' real true identity. They were refusing to have their eyes opened. But it's emphasising for us, you know, seeing with our eyes doesn't mean that we truly see in life. Verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, but he didn't listen to the crowd. He couldn't be silenced. He shouted all the more. And you know, I love his boldness. I love his persistence. I love his persistence in that pursuit of Jesus. He was expectant. He was desperate to get him. But there was a crowd. And you know, when you're blind, how are you going to get to him? It was hard. It was difficult. He could have listened to the crowd. He could have stopped crying out, and he would have missed Jesus, missed his miracle, but he didn't. Instead, he decided he didn't care what others thought of him. He wasn't worried about pleasing the people. He wasn't worried about maintaining the status quo. He was concerned with living up and not living up to other people's expectations. He wanted Jesus. He just wanted to get to Jesus, and he wasn't going to miss Jesus. He wasn't going to miss encountering the presence of God, the Messiah. To me, he sounded very expectant that his life would never be the same again. Are we that expectant when we encounter Jesus? Next slide, please. Did it come up? Yep. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Now, Jesus made a way for him to come through the crowd. It would have been a bit impossible for him to get to the crowd otherwise, but Jesus made a way. And it's interesting that he also involved others around him. Almost like Jesus was saying, you know, come on, come and see the rest of you. And so they called to blind Bartimaeus. They called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Now, why did he throw that cloak aside, you reckon? Perhaps because it was heavy and he didn't want anything slowing him down on his way to Jesus. The cloak was like an outer garment, wasn't it? Sort of operated like a long coat. It was also protection against the cold at night. And it was also used for him to get money. Scholars believe that he had sort of spread it over his lap and that as people went by, they'd throw the money into his cloak. And that way he could gather it up easily and receive his money. But it also could have meant it might have been a symbol of his old way of life that he was throwing off. Because he had it might mean that because he had complete and total faith that after he met Jesus, he might not no longer need it. Verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And the blind man said, "Rabbi," meaning teacher, "I want to see." Now, Jesus knew that Bartimaeus was blind. He could have seen that. But he didn't just heal him, did he? No. For some reason, Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to think about what he wanted. He wanted him to ask for what he wanted. Now, don't you find that interesting? I do too, Ben. Verse 52, "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Can you imagine how Bartimaeus' life changed? Whew. I can imagine that the first face he saw was Jesus. And he followed Jesus along the road that led to Jerusalem and eventually the cross. He wouldn't be earning his living begging anymore. I wonder how he did earn his living. But he followed Jesus. He may have been part of the early church, doesn't say, but I like to think so. He followed Jesus. And what faith? Your faith has healed you. What faith was that? Bartimaeus had a revelation, a faith, a belief, a trust in Jesus, that he was the long-awaited Messiah. And remember, this is pre-crossed. What a revelation we have now. Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, has paid the price for our sins. He's made a way. That curtain was torn in two, and he's made a way for us to have relationship with our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God who lives within us, the Spirit of truth, our helper, our comforter, our advocate. In John, it talks about the allos parakletos. Allos in Greek means of the same kind. Of the same kind as the Father and Jesus, the Holy Spirit is of the same kind. And he is our advocate, the one who comes alongside of us as the paraclete. And so we can be even more expectant that the presence of Jesus will change us, both individually and corporately, as God moves by his Spirit in our midst. And do you remember a couple of weeks ago I shared that Holly was leading us in worship with that song, What a Beautiful Name, the Name of Jesus. And we sang it again today, which is always interesting. I love it when the worship, you know, goes with the message. But the heavens are roaring, the praise of his glory. And I shared what I saw in the Spirit that day, that our worship here was joined with worship all around the world, and that under these heavens, the heavens were roaring in the praise of his glory. And I know that touched some people at the time, but you know, I received a clip the following week, and it's always interesting, isn't it? Someone just out of the blue sends me this clip. And what that clip was, and it was very quick and it was gone pretty quickly too, but what it was showing people on the streets in countries all around the world, from London and Rome and America, South America, all of Madrid, all around the world, people in the streets praising and worshiping God. Now, you're not going to see that on your TV screen at night, are you, in the news? But by golly gosh, so I thought, and I couldn't find that clip again, so I thought, oh, YouTube. So I put in 2025, people worshiping in the streets, the name of, you know, worshiping Jesus in the streets. And up come all these clips again. They weren't the same as the one I'd received, but they were there again. 15,000 here, and there was 300,000 there. And one came up, and it must have been a stadium, and it was 700,000 people worshiping God. Now, that's amazing. You know, what a time in history we live in. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been a part of that many people worshiping God, but I have. In the 80s, you know, I was in America, it wasn't hundreds of thousands, it was tens of thousands at conferences worshiping God. And back here in Australia too, we had a number of conferences in the 90s, and even in this century, I've been to conferences and there've been tens of thousands of people worshiping God together. And you know, there's something that changes you. That changes you when you get that sense of the Spirit, the excitement of the Spirit, and join with people worshiping God. He is our God and we want to worship him. You know, God's on the move. It's a wonderful time in history in which we live now. We see some horrible things, but by golly gosh, there's some good things happening too. And as I sat more and more with this passage, what do you want me to do for you? There are three themes that I just want to briefly expand on. Could you give us the next slide, please? Excuse me. Blindness, healing, and expectancy. You know, blindness can affect us in many different ways. We've got a body, we've got a soul, we've got a spirit. And, you know, we can need fine-tuning from distortion of our vision in any one of those areas. So firstly, physical blindness, needing healing. So I believe in physical healing, whether it's blindness or some other form of healing. I've been through the charismatic movement in the 80s. It had a lot of healing movement there. Where at the beginning of, in 2000 to 2002, me and my husband were part of leading a healing ministry, and I've seen a lot of people healed, and many different ways people are healed in my 45 years Christian walking in the Spirit. But I've learned through experience that the same question Jesus is asking here is always a good question to ask when we're praying for healing. What do you want Jesus to do for you? And some people are healed, and I'm going to continue to praying for healed, but sometimes not everyone's healed, right? Is that right? That's right. Sometimes we walk through difficult times physically, don't we? And it's the same Jesus who's there with us through it all. Listen, I've just had a knee replacement 7 weeks ago tomorrow. And, you know, God was with me through that. And the doctors are amazed at how good I am. And do you know what? I haven't walked this well in at least 10 years. And, you know, the Lord's, it's the beginning of a new season for me. I know that in the Spirit. The Lord's brought me into a new season, and the fact that I'm standing here today is witness to that new season. But this is a story that I really felt that the Lord wanted me to tell you. And it happened when I was nursing, in my nursing years. And I went to do a dressing one evening. And this woman had had some chemotherapy, and it had leaked onto her skin, and she had lost the skin on the top of her hand, the back of her hand. And so we were dressing that wound to clean it up so that she could have a skin graft. And she was due to have a skin graft in a few days. So this is the only time I encountered this lady. And as I went in to do the dressing, and I'm dressing away on a hand, cleaning it up, she said to me, oh, she said, I've got brain cancer. And she said, and I've been through brain surgery. And she said, and I've been through chemo. And she said, God got me through both those. And she said, I hope this doesn't sound ungrateful. It might even sound a bit silly. But she said, I just can't face another operation to have this skin graft. I just can't do it. I find the whole thing about having another operation, she said, totally overwhelming. By this time, I'd finished the dressing and I put the bandage on for the night to protect it and the bandage up to here. And I said to her, so, you know, it was basically on the lines of this. So what do you want Jesus to do for you? And she said, you know, heal me hand. And I said to her, do you want me to join with you and pray? And she said, yeah. She said, you pray. And I said, okay. So I did, very simple prayer. Lord, you hear her prayer, Lord. She doesn't want another operation. She wants this hole healed. Lord, please heal her hand. Bring that skin together and heal her hand. And then I heard, whoo, and I opened my eyes and she's looking at me and I said, what? And she said, there's electricity going up my hand. What is it? Up my arm and into my hand. What is it? And I said, it's the healing power of God. She said, is it? And I said, yep. And I said, look, it's okay. I said, let's just thank him. Lord, we thank you for your healing powers at work in her hand. And I said, how's it feel now? She said, it's okay. It feels good, actually. I said, good. I said, do you think you'll be able to settle down? It's night time. And I said, do you think you'll be able to settle down and sleep? How do you feel? And she said, yeah, I feel really peaceful. I thought, okay. And off I toddled. That was my only encounter with that woman. But then I went home and I come back on afternoon shift again. And I noticed that she's not there. And I said to my colleagues, I said, what happened to Mrs. So-and-so? And they said, oh, funny thing. The doctors came around and they took down that dressing and her hand was so healed there she didn't need a skin graft anymore and off she went home. And I went, praise God. What do you want God to do for you? What do you want me to do for you, Jesus says. And you know, your prayer today might be for the Lord to heal you physically in some physical ailment. Bartimaeus was bold, he was persistent, he was expectant. Please don't give up. Please keep praying. I keep praying for healing. Be expectant. Don't give up. Because whatever situation we're in, God will help us through it. Just want to talk for a second about blindness of the soul, you know, our mind, our will and our emotions. You know, emotional, psychological blindness or distortion that stops us seeing clearly. Now, look, we all see through our own perspectives. And it's like a lens that we see through that's made up of our own beliefs, our own biases, our own experiences. And it can be influenced in positive ways, really, really good. And it can be influenced in negative ways. You know, sometimes our hurts, our pains, our grief, disappointments, adverse life circumstances, our suffering can just distort our vision and how we see things in life. And a lot of conflict and more pain can flow on from that too. And we see that a lot in world events. We might need a bit of a lens adjustment, a heart adjustment, but what we really need is a healing of our heart and our mind. And our healing of our hearts, our pain, our suffering, our disappointments that have influenced our thoughts and our way of being in the world. We need to see through a healed heart and not through our hurts. So I work as a counsellor out there in my 10th year of that. And you know, the best healer of hearts and minds in the world is the Lord Jesus. And I love working with people and seeing them healed, particularly people of faith. It's just really, really good to see the Lord just work in their lives. Last year, my husband died, Bruce. He was in hospital for 40 days. And 40 in biblical terms, in numbers, means trial, but it also means transformation. And we had both. It was a trial, but it was also a transformation. And my husband had the most beautiful death as he was transformed into the presence of Jesus. And that gives me great, great comfort. And excitement and expectation for myself when I finally get there too. And I went in to see him every day through those 40 days. But first thing of a morning, I'd text or phone him. And you know, some days he was just too unwell to respond at all. But this particular day, he'd had bowel surgery sort of like a week before, and he'd gotten through the extremely ill bit, and then he was just starting. That morning he could talk to me on the mobile. And he thought he'd actually, when the nurse came in, he thought he'd flipped it to the turn me off, but he hadn't. He'd left me on. And so put his mobile on the sheets, and I could hear what the nurse said as she came in. And as she came in, she must have been having a very bad day, because as she came in, she actually said something that was quite humiliating to my husband. She spoke to him in a very humiliating way. And it was, you know, I was nursing for nearly four decades. You don't speak to people like that. And particularly when they're sick and in high dependency. And it was abusive, really. And I had to have that particular nurse removed from his care, which I did pretty promptly. But the effect of that humiliation, sorry, John, I'm trying not to move. The effect of that humiliation on Bruce, I saw on his face through his stay in hospital. And that was the thing that I carried. So I went through the pain of, you know, grieving my husband and all that. And I was about 6 months. It's about 6 months after he passed away. And I was stuck on this humiliation, this hurt. And really what it was injustice. Injustice and abuse. And I went to have a chat to a guy I've known for a long time, beautiful Christian guy. He happens to be a psychologist, very good at putting the word in. So we talked about injustice. We put the name on it, injustice. Didn't solve anything about it, but we named it injustice. Yep. So as I left there, though, I walked out his front door and I walked onto the porch. And in my mind, I heard Bruce's words. It's okay, babe. You can let it go. I'm at peace. And you know, that was the Lord speaking to me in a way that I could receive it. And my heart was healed of that incident. And I'm so thankful for that. Because injustice and abuse can be really tricky to get healed of, can't it? You know? But I was healed. And you know, life happens, and so our prayer, and my prayer every day, I pray for my family and others every day, and I pray, and oh, for myself as well, I pray, Lord, heal our hearts and our minds and the way we see things in life. Help us to see, Lord, as you see. And I know that prayer has made a difference in our lives and in my lives and my family, and I haven't even come to the Lord yet, but hey, I'm seeing results. And just thirdly, spiritual blindness, needing revelation. Bartimaeus had a revelation of Jesus as the Messiah. Think on that. But that totally eluded the religious leaders of the day. They didn't have that revelation at all. And you know, whatever revelation we have of the Lord in our journey of faith, and hopefully that's deepening as we journey with the Lord, there is always more with God. His love is more vast. His grace is greater. He's so much bigger than ever we could hope or think. And he is able to do, as Paul says, exceedingly more abundantly than anything that we could ever imagine. And you know, the love of God, which is how we come to him in the first place, but the love of God can be very hard to grasp in the natural, especially if you haven't known love in your life. And in Ephesians, Paul prays for us to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And my friends, that needs a revelation. It really needs a revelation of God. We need our eyes opened to see God's love for us and to see the love of God at work in us and around us, in others. You know, we can thank God for his word, which we can conveniently have on one of these, and his spirit that is at work within us and continually available to us, and to help us to see more clearly and to give us a fresh revelation of himself. We are just so fortunate these days. And we have our community of fellow Christians who can help us on our faith journey, and how wonderful that is. And I just want to publicly say thank you to everyone that helped me through my time after my operation, who prayed me through and who travelled, you know, ferried me around when I couldn't drive. I can drive as of Friday, so wonderful. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. So your prayer today might be for the Lord to give you a fresh revelation of himself, a deeper revelation of who he is through his word, a fresh revelation of his love. And finally, expectancy. Bartimaeus was expectant, I believe. It's interesting to me that the 4D conference this year is called Expectant. You know, we've been walking past these cards for weeks, and I want to invite you to take one of these and stick it on your fridge, not because of the conference so much as because this is a word that God is speaking into our hearts. Be expectant. What the subtitle is too, I'll tell you. A gathering of leaders eager to see God move. That's the subtitle for that conference. But this word, expectant, is on God's heart. What are we expectant for? Are we expectant? What are you expectant for? Are we eager to see God move? Are you eager to see God move? God is a God who moves. And I'm going to pray. Finally, I'm going to pray and finish up. But, you know, I really believe I'm in a new season now. And then the last week, the Lord's been saying to me, stir up the gift of God that is within you, that it was confirmed on you through the laying on of hands. And I'm going to throw that out to you today. Stir up the gift of God, this is for free, that is in you, that was confirmed on you through the laying on of hands. Because it's a new season, I believe, not only for me, but for many. Be expectant. Be expectant. Pick one of these cards up. Stick it on your fridge at home, so you've got it before your eyes. Expectant. Finally, let us pray. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we have heard you say, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, we ask for healing. Please heal us. Lord, open our eyes to see you in the midst of whatever we are going through and in the midst of what we see others going through. Lord, heal our hearts and minds that we may see you more clearly. See more clearly in life. Help us to see you, Lord. Open our eyes to see you, expand our revelation of who you are, and give us a greater revelation of your love. Lord, help us to be expectant, to see what you are doing, and to see what you are about to do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. We got it in time. I used to go for an hour. He said 20 minutes. So, do you want to stand?
Yep.
And we'll do the benediction. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his shalom. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. So go in God's shalom, his peace, to love and serve the Lord through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.